Welcome to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner. Carrie believes if you want to experience clarity in business and in life, then discovering who you are, why you're here, and where you're going is a must. The Igniting Souls podcast is dedicated to help you do just this. And now, here's Carrie.
Hey folks, it's Carrie Oberbrunner, and I have with me Brett Kaufman, an amazing Columbus, I think born and raised, leader who's here today. And listen, folks, you want to listen in if you are in the wrong job, because Brett is going to share how he just understood after some time and listening to his heart that he was in the wrong spot. So we're going to chat today. Brett, welcome to the live stream.
Thanks, Carrie. It is great to be with you. I always enjoy being around you. That big smile and your good energy is infectious. So I'm happy to be with you.
Awesome. Well, you know, you're one of these people that we share a mutual friend, Chet Scott. And for those that are part of the live stream that know about Chet, he's intense, and he works with very high performing people and teams. And you're one of these guys that I heard Chet talk about, and I'm not from Columbus, so I don't understand the rich history of your family, but give us the backstory of kind of what is the Kaufman family about. Tell us where you grew up, and then we're going to jump into this interesting story about how you knew you were in the wrong spot. And I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate. And if you are watching, Renee says, hey, Brett. So Renee Vidor, and we have Michelle from Montreal. So people are jumping in from all over, and we're going to be doing some giveaways as well. So jump in, Brett.
Yeah, great. No, happy to dive into all of that. I actually am not born in Columbus, and I would say raised here, though. I moved to Columbus when I was about 10 years old. So I have lived here most of my life. I went away to school, and my Kaufman family isn't actually from Columbus either. They're more from Northeast Ohio and Akron. And I, you know, really, it's more about not so much my family being kind of the presence here in the city, but it was more about kind of what I learned as a kid about what you were supposed to do with your life. Mm. And so, you know, my kind of upbringing, and it's not wrong or bad, you know, everybody super well intended, just sharing what they believed was most important for me, and me being a man in particular, a young man, but a man nonetheless that was supposed to do certain things that would look good in the eyes of society as they knew it. Certain things like make money, be in business, have a respectable career, get married, have a family, right? None of these things are bad. It just was very high valued. That there was a path that, you know, you're supposed to take as a Kaufman, as a member of this family, as a member of society, maybe, you know, in general, just these were the way that they were programmed, and the society, you know, maybe that they lived in had accepted. And this was how you would have a good life. This is how you would be happy. And this is what you were supposed to do. And that was very clear to me, even if it wasn't like, verbally shared, which it was, but it was also role modeled, and it was also kind of implied. And you know, this was just kind of what I took on. This is, at least that's what I heard as a kid, is that this is what I'm supposed to go do with my life. At some point when the time is right, I better go get a job, and I better go, you know, start to make some money and look good and have some success and get on with my life. And so that's what I did. You know, I didn't follow the things that I was super passionate about when I was young, when I was in college, when I started my career. You know, I went off and did what I thought I was supposed to do.
Yeah. And if people drive around Columbus, and not only just Columbus, now you're big time all over. But We'll see your buildings. I mean, I've even taken some of my mastermind members down to some of your buildings, but you did take the path that was shown to you. And, but not everyone does. Some people feel that pressure and they kind of rebel very early on, but you, it sounds like you kind of took that pressure and just embodied it and went like a good soldier. Is that accurate in the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Chet, and so what I would say is that I was unconscious. I was just programmed, right? And I want to just kind of like say before we go too far, I am so grateful for my journey and for my family and for kind of how things unfolded, for what they are and what they're not, because I believe I had to have the experience. I had to have the experience of really being unhappy in my career and in my work, seeing people in the banking environment when I worked in banking that were dead men walking, right? They were unhappy. They were living for the weekends, living for vacation, counting the days to retirement. I witnessed it so clearly that it was a necessary thing for me to understand what I did not want. And when I met Chet, you know, Chet likes to say he is awakening people, right? Waking up people. And that's what happened. I didn't know what a coach was. I was in an environment where I was introduced to Chet where everybody in the room hated him. But I knew there was something about this guy that was going to be helpful to me, and he woke me up. And then I started to see, how I was living, and that wasn't a necessity. There was another option, an option where I could love my work and I could love my life, and they could be one thing. You know, that's, you know,
that is so huge. People are digging this. In fact, someone just says they can relate. Angelita, but Brett, you're onto something, because I hear it, man. And when I saw Shawshank Redemption a bunch of years ago, I thought, oh my gosh, this is life. This is most people. They have their benefits. They have their little freedom to go out in the courtyard, even though there's bars all around them. And then they go back in prison. What I'm curious, because I never heard the story. Where were you when you say everybody in the room hated Chet? What was that?
Yeah, well, it's funny you mentioned Shawshank, because it's you know, a classic and one of my favorites. And I love the line there that is, get busy living or get busy dying, right? I mean, that's what we're talking
Absolutely.
About, right?
Absolutely.
You know, are you actively dying or are you actively living, right?
Yes.
And I was in a business forum, a YPO forum.
Oh, yeah.
Where one of Chet's clients, it was Rod Baseman.
Oh yeah.
And Rod was the only other person in the room that didn't hate Chet. Rod brought Chet to our group to have us do something different that day. Typically we had a format. This time we had somebody to come in and mix it up. And what Chet made us do, and it was, I don't know, 10 men, he made us look at each other in the eye and practice, as you know, seven good minutes.
Yeah.
Yep. And 7 good minutes is just looking somebody in the eye and being curious with them, asking them questions and not telling them what you think, not sharing with them what you think, trying not even to think at all, just listening, really deeply listening to another human being. And these were corporate businessmen doing this. And everybody was so uncomfortable. And they hated it. They thought it was a waste of time. And, you know, what are we doing?
Yes.
Men don't do these kinds of things. And I just knew there was something there. It was really a kind of a spiritual thing for me that, like, Chet was brought to me. And I wasn't a spiritual person at that time.
Yeah.
But I am now, and I believe that's what happened.
Side point for all the entrepreneurs in the room. Notice how Chet didn't have to sell his services that day. Right. I mean, he didn't say, hey, and if you want to work with Built to Lead, here you go. All he did was show up, filled up, and you caught it, Brett. And I'm sure like you were hooked.
Let me hop in on one point there, because I know you and I are both also extremely passionate about strategic coach.
Yes.
Right. And so there's a couple things that are common there with Chet and coach. Dan is always saying, always be the buyer, right?
Yeah.
So Chet, when I eventually sat down and had lunch with him to talk about working with him, I had to sell him on why he should take me on as a client, because he does not want to waste his time with people that aren't going to do the work. He's there to help people transform. And he knows if you don't do the work, it's not going to happen. And wow. He flushes that out up front. You know, like, if you want to work with me, and, you know, he says, you know, you've got to be willing to get fired all the time. And so, you know, always be the buyer. And you're right. That's like, he wasn't selling me at all. I was like begging him to take me on.
That's so good. I love that, folks. You got to write that down, to always be the buyer. In other words, be selective. Brett had to prove to Chet why he was worthy to be. And by the way, it's not cheap. It cost financially time, but then the pain. What started happening once you started working with Chet? What started to come alive in you?
Well, you know, pretty early on, we did an exercise called Love To's, which was writing out all the things that you love. And I started to see that there was a lot about life that I loved that was outside of my work. And pretty quickly, I started to see how I could potentially pull that into my work and find a way to combine that love and work into one thing. But, you know, I think beyond just the work piece and kind of finding my opus and building my company, what started to happen is I started to really look at who I was and what I believed and what my purpose was and just how much I didn't know. I didn't really know what I believed, what my worldview was. That was nothing I ever took the time to think about. I'm a generation, and maybe there's generations, you know, my kids' generations even worse, where there's enough distraction all the time, right? Yeah. So to stop and be with your thoughts and really know what it is you believe about the world and who you are, what's your identity, what is your purpose? These weren't things I'd ever thought about. And Chet right away had me start to dive in and figure out what I didn't know and where I wanted to start to plug these gaps, you know, integrity gaps, where maybe I believed one thing and was living another way, or didn't know what I believed and needed to figure that out. You know, the method of Built to Lead is build your core. Who are you? And that way, when everything's coming at you, you know who you are, and you don't have to think about how you're going to be in every situation. That's really the work of Built to Lead.
That is so good. And he also talks about acute pain. In other words, this wasn't just all roses and smiles. I mean, this, when you started looking in the mirror and started seeing the integrity gaps, do you understand now why people run away and bury themselves with distraction or trying to get hacked?
I do. And, you know, it's an ongoing struggle. I mean, I'm still guilty of it. I'm looking at my phone all the time too. So, you know, I am a work in progress. This is never ending. This is the work. This is life. This is mastery that we're aiming for. And that takes probably a lifetime, maybe more, depending on how woo you want to get with it, you know? So I have awareness now. I catch myself. I come back. And that's really been kind of, you know, and I've come a long way. I mean, I'm you know, way more present and way more focused and certainly way more clear on who I am. You know, it's stuff like this, you know, I maybe in a past, you know, part of my life, I would have had to prepare or be nervous or something. But now I just know, I just show up and be who I am. And you know, that's all that matters. And the more you can really, you know, kind of embrace that. That's the thing that's been kind of fun for me in recent years, is I now know that if I bring myself to my work, to my life, to my relationships, that is where the good stuff is. There's tremendous power in just showing up as you are and not having to think about it. And, you know, that's where it gets fun.
If you have to think about it, then you're putting on an act. And if you put on an act, you got to keep putting on the act. And no, I like that. So you started to understand your worldview. You started to say, I understand my identity, my purpose. The outside then became more obvious that it wasn't a match. In other words, we have a joke about built to lead, how it's really built to leave. And I don't know if you've heard that before. Have you heard that before?
Yeah, I've experienced it too.
Not only did I leave,
but I've had a whole bunch of people in my company leave because they've caught fire about what they wanted to do too. So I get it, and it
happened to me. I left the pastorate. So talk about why. Why does that happen with a lot of people? Once they understand who they are and why they're here, they look at their job and they say, not a match, and they have enough courage to overcome that gap of, do I have enough belief or value?
Well, I think what happens is, you know, you start to get really uncomfortable kind of seeing, you can't unsee what you've seen. Once you start to kind of go like, I'm not living in integrity with who I am and who I want to be, it starts to get pretty uncomfortable. And one of two things happens. You either find more ways to numb and to distract because you don't want to actually look in the mirror and be with it and go through that transition. You've got it in your mind. And maybe it actually is so that it's going to be really hard and you don't want to be with hard. That's the chronic pain, right? You know, we talk about acute pain. Mm-hmm. You know, that acute pain is painful, but it's not as painful as being 10 more years down the road or 20 yes. more years down the road or late in life. And no, you didn't live your life the way you wanted to. And you start to get really uncomfortable with that. And when that happens, you know, Chet always says, people make these kind of jumps for one of two reasons, an entrepreneurial jump or a big life change. They do it either because they're drowning or because they're on fire about something, right? And so I was kind of both, but you know, I think being on fire about something is the way forward, because then you can start to say like, I can't say no to this thing. You know, it's just calling me. It's just like too exciting to pass up. And that's a more powerful way to make the move. I do kind of caution with that advice, because sometimes you just don't know and you just got to take a step. You know, we also talk about baby steps, right? So sometimes you just got to step into it.
We got about 10 minutes left. Let's talk about this concept where give us the breadth, and you don't need to like give us your income level exactly, but let's let people realize like you had a safe, comfortable life and you're doing the hard work. I tell people all the time that dead people feel nothing. So I feel like you were partially alive. Then you started doing the work and all of a sudden you're really alive and you're like, it's not a fit. Give us what Brett Kaufman was job wise, you know, income, possessions. And then what did you leave all that for? And how scary was that? And then what did you then create? And now who's the Brett Kaufman after?
Yeah, I mean, I can give you like a general sense, you know, because I think there's something here that's more important. But you know, I was the president of a company that I worked at for 11 years. I had been president for the last 6 years. I had a good gig. I was making a nice salary. I had the opportunity to build some wealth. You know, I hadn't really built much wealth, but I had the opportunity to. It was a pretty cushy gig by kind of most people's standards, but it wasn't what I wanted to be doing. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I guess just to kind of finish that point on the kind of what am I doing now and the income and that kind of stuff. I mean, I have made substantially more money than I probably would have ever made in the other job. And, you know, I made the jump. I had a house. I had a wife. I had two kids at the time. I have three now. You know, there were a lot of reasons why not to make that move. But the move I made did end up paying off financially for me. And who knows? I mean, maybe the wealth I would have built there would have even been equal. And this is why that doesn't matter, because I wasn't happy. And yeah. So even if I was able to push it down, you know, not really be with it, you know, distract, it would come out. I was not as loving to my kids. I was not as pleasant of a person to be around. I had more anger that would come out because I was pushing it all down. That doesn't work. You can't do that. You're going to eventually find ways for that to get out or get stuck in your body. It's just not workable. And so this is more about freedom for me. This is more about a different kind of way to live. It's not about even the money. Now, the money I actually believe has been there in spades and will continue to be, not just for me, but for other people as well. But it isn't about the money. It's about freedom. And freedom is really what we're after, right? I mean, money buys freedom. Yes, sort of, kind of. But we all know plenty of people with plenty of money that are really miserable. You know, it's about time and relationships and purpose, you know, and yes, money, but those other things, you know, you can't put a price tag on.
That's so good. So it's almost like you started keeping score a different way. The world keeps score with possessions, money only. And you started to say, you know what, I'm keeping score with joy and presence and happiness. And you made that shift, but then the money came, but it didn't come in the beginning. You didn't have all the guarantees, and neither did I, and neither did Chet. That's kind of this gap, right? Where you're becoming truer to yourself, you're understanding your voice, but the world really hasn't caught up yet. And so there's this gap. Talk about that gap for someone right now who says, in fact, somebody says this, you know, I'm right where you are right now. Angelita says, I'm in that gap. What kind of wisdom would you give to that person?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think that, you know, there's a few things. One, be kind to yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Trust, right? Trust something greater than yourself if you can, if that is a part of your life. And kind of surrender to it. But what Chet always preached to me is baby steps. Go slow. Slow it down. You know, don't jump without a parachute. It's okay. You know, if you're on fire and you want to go, go. But if you're not there, take it slow and be kind to yourself and trust that, you know, you're playing the long game. Play the long game. You don't have to have it all figured out on day one. My life continues to evolve in miraculous ways. The things I'm doing now, I couldn't have ever even imagined doing two, 3 years ago. And where I'll be 5-10 years from now, I can't even imagine what that's going to be. Even though I have a vision for it, the way it's going to unfold is, you know, beyond comprehension, really. And so just go slow. Be kind to yourself. Be patient. Patience, and baby step. You got to be in action. It's not going to happen on its own, but you can take it at your own pace.
What about surrounding yourself with other high performers? In other words, is there this time where the people that you once hung with no longer fuel you? And maybe some people are scared of that. Like, oh my gosh, my relationships are going to change. But what happens when you do start to change and you look around and the people around you aren't what they once were?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is really actually a pretty big deal. You know, I think, you know, what we're talking about really is authoring your own life. And that might mean that there are some people that are at odds with that. And, you know, you've got to decide. There's discernment. There's family and lifelong friends that you want to be in your life, even if you're not all linked up, because I've decided, at least in my case, I love my family. Yes. Right. All of them. And I love my old friends, all of them. And when we get together, it's a special thing. And those aren't always my old friends, at least are not always the people that I'm going to turn to every day in my business. Mm-hmm. I love my community at Strategic Coach. I love Genius Network and Abundance 360. These people are lighting me up on fire about what the future looks like, longevity and all these kind of VR and, you know, biohacking and stuff that, you know, I'm not going to talk about with my high school buddies. But when I'm with my high school buddies, it's like, you know, we've never stopped being friends. It's, you know, make new friends, keep the old, right? I mean, I think you've got to discern. And there are some people there are some things, not just people, that really aren't serving you anymore. Yeah. And you've got to be courageous enough to stand for you, who you are. This is, to me, this is self-love. You've got to love yourself enough to say, I don't want to spend my time that way. I just don't. I'm sorry.
That is so good. All right. We got about 4 minutes left. We'll go into speed round here.
Okay.
You said that you were not a spiritual person prior, but I find that very interesting that once you started on this journey, now you would say you are a spiritual person. What changed? How did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, it was a series of events over time that probably got me shifted on this. I think I was maybe a little stubborn, and I was a little just, you know, kind of unhappy and stuck on being rebellious and just didn't want to sign up for the idea of God or religion. You know, it just, sure. It felt too kind of, you know, romanticized, or like maybe that was something for people that were lost or needed something to glob onto. Right. I had all these stories about it. But you know, what I've decided is that my life has unfolded in a way that you can't explain.
It's miraculous.
You know, it's miraculous. And the only way for me to explain that is an intelligence that is beyond comprehension. And now I see it unfolding all the time. And I just know that that's what's happening. And you know, just to be clear, you know, and maybe I'm getting off your speed round, but I'll finish quick. You know, that my belief is that we are all one, and we are all a part of a energy that is God, and that that's what God is. That we, you know, when you say the image of God, it is all of us, and we are all connected and a part of this brilliance that is something we can't comprehend. And you know, that's kind of where I landed with you know, spirituality.
Man, it's so cool to see you on fire. You're wearing a hat, Gravity Podcast. Tell us about that. Tell us about what you're up to and where we can find more about you. And we do have Columbus people watching, so where would they see your buildings as well?
Sure. Yeah. So the Gravity Podcast has been kind of a new part of my opus. Everything that we're doing, it's the Gravity Podcast with Brett Kaufman. It's all about how do we make the human experience a better one? How do we take our shared experiences and help each other and uplift each other and optimize? And so that's what we're doing on the podcast. We're sharing full life journeys of successful people. You have an amazing story. I loved having you on. People want to know not just how you are successful and what you're up to. They want to know all of it. How did you get there? Because they're just like you and they see themselves in you, and it's encouraging them to grow and improve. And that's what we're doing at our communities. Gravity is our name of the podcast. It's also the name of a project in Franklinton, downtown Columbus, where people live and work and have opportunities to engage in events and programming and content, again, aimed at how we can make their lives better and make the community better and make the world a better place.
I love it. We put your website in there as well. Folks, check out his podcast. Really interesting. It truly is. He had Chet on there as well. And Brett, a lot of my community is authors. So I know that when you're ready for that book. You know, I've been bugging you for years, just like I bugged Chet, but we're excited to get that book out whenever you feel like you want to bless the world with your book.
Yep. It's going to happen. It's in me, and you're going to help me get it out. So we'll do that too.
That's cool. Well, folks, let Brett know in the comments that it was fantastic. People are totally digging this from all over. Share it, tag someone. And what you mentioned, Strategic Coach, we're going to be giving away two of Dan's books, Who Not How. So the first two people that say, I want one, go ahead, type in the comments, and then Michelle will get your email and address and we'll send you one. Thanks for being here today, Brett.
Yes, Who Not How is a game changer, by the way. I love it. Love Dan. And so is Unhackable. Don't forget. I love you, Carrie. Thank you for having me on.
Let's take a picture of this for Dan, all right?
All right.
Awesome. Okay. See you, Brett, and thanks for being a blessing today.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Okay.
Thanks so much for listening to the Igniting Souls podcast. As a subscriber, we challenge you to be more than just a passive listener. Show up, filled up, and become a member of the tribe. Visit us on the web at carrieoberbrunner.com. Remember, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire.